The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, August 27th, and the countdown to the NFL season is even closer or shorter than it was yesterday, because that's how countdowns work. But it is surprisingly close how soon football will be starting. My biorhythms are all screwed up, and you're probably trying to figure out what to do for your fantasy leagues. That's why Fantasy Week is here. We've got great conversations throughout the week. Brandon Guptill talking DFS, aka Gup. Pat Mayo talking fantasy strategy. Heath Cummings will join us today. But reminder, you know, if you like this podcast, you like fantasy football, maybe you want to get another fantasy podcast in your life. You're one of those people who don't have a commute. You really just want a 5-minute explanation of what's going on in fantasy. Well, CBS Sports is delivering for you for more than a decade. Fantasy Football Today has been delivering league-winning analysis and advice as part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Now they're coming at you fast with a brand new feed. Don't worry, the old one will stay the same. The Fantasy Football Today in 5-minute podcast is your audio outlet for fantasy news and advice in 5 minutes or less. 5 minutes! I can't even do an intro in 5 minutes. I'm not going to just read in 5 minutes. It'll feature familiar voices like Adam Azer and the rest of the FFT crew. They're being sold short here. Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, Heath Cummings, and Ben Gretsch as they break down what matters most to help you win your league in a quick hitting format. Available first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Football Today in 5 on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, your smart speakers, and anywhere else podcasts are found. Trailer and feed out now. First official episode drops Monday, August 31st. All right, joining us now, is it 2 years now in a row that you've done this every week, Heath, where you've taken time out of your busy schedule to talk fantasy on the Pick Six Podcast? A regular.
Yeah, only because you let me talk about beer sometimes too.
I tell you what, I got 3 packages of beer that showed up at my house.
Wow.
From my friends in San Diego, a podcast listener, and then the kind folks at Harpoon Brewery offered to send me a quarantine 12 pack or something like that. I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to dive into those. I'm trying not to drink quite as much beer during quarantine because, you know, you get fat, but it's not working and I'm just fat. That's why I'm not shaving.
Yeah. I've gone a couple of stretches where I went like 3 or 4 days in a row without having a beer, and that was. Wow. That was really a new experience.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's not going to happen during football season, but it happened a couple of times during quarantine.
Hey, so let me ask you this on the Fantasy Football Today. Actually, when I heard about it on the Twitch show, or Azure brought it up at some point, I was like, I don't know about a 5-minute podcast. I will say though, I really do like the idea of a 5-minute podcast for like the waiver period, because I often find that with work and whatever else I have going on, you know, family, it is difficult for me to get caught up on what the I know what's going on with the waivers for the most part, but I need a waiver podcast in my life. And sometimes I can't get to y'all's full waiver podcast. So I sort of love the idea of being able to fire up a 5-minute show where it's like, bang, here's what you need to know. Here's who's being added and dropped. Have you guys tested this at all? Do you think the format's going to work? Have you done anything at all with it? And am I setting you up for failure here?
You are not setting me up for failure at all. I know it has been tested and I'm looking forward to it. I think it will be really good for not just waivers, but also start sit.
Yeah.
You know, we go through and break down every game, but it'll be a little bit the 5 minute podcast, you can just kind of highlight the guys we're starting that we don't normally, the guys we're sitting that we don't normally, and then you can proceed with everything else like you normally would.
Okay. Well, look, it's a great idea. I know that Eric Kay, our podcast czar, is like big into, and Debo, our producer here, who's on with us, they're big into these micro podcasts. You know, the emergency podcast, the micro podcast. They don't like to hold back. They like to flood the market.
Well, as you said, and I can confirm, we will never ever ask you to host a 5 minute micro cast.
But I will point out that unfortunately, Heath, one of the guys you drafted on your team in the Snickers Fantasy League, for which you bashed me on CBS Sports HQ, B minus. I don't know why I have to like bet up about a B minus.
What I said later in the show, and you probably, I don't know if you were still watching, but like, how many times in your life have you been thrilled by a B minus?
Oh, I mean, my dad would have given me $1,000 for a B minus freshman semester, freshman semester. He would have given me a round of applause, like bought me a round of drinks. I probably overreacted to that. I think I just really liked the team. I went, for those who didn't hear, I went Joe Mixon in the first round, Nick Chubb in the second round, OBJ in the third, Tyler Lockett in the fourth, and then Michael Gallup in the fifth. And I kind of feel like that's how I'm going to construct a lot of these rosters in 2020, where I go running back early. And it's counterintuitive to what I've done. And I know what you like to do in the past. I just feel like you can get two studs, and then the depth at wide receiver is crazy deep. The point of this all was that David Montgomery, one of the guys you drafted, went down with a groin injury on Wednesday afternoon. What's your level of concern for some of these preseason injuries with these running backs? Montgomery, Kenyon Drake, Miles Sanders, and specific to Montgomery, who obviously got hurt a few minutes ago before we started recording.
Yeah, Montgomery's is the most concerning of those three, at least right now. And that was one of the things, like you opened up talking about how we're getting closer and closer to the start of the season. I wrote something real quick about Montgomery before the podcast, and like we're just barely more than 2 weeks away from when Dave Montgomery would need to like suit up and play a football game. So I do think this is concerning for the start of his season. He is someone that I like in the middle rounds, and I think was being overlooked a little bit as the cheapest and latest drafted guy that's almost certainly going to touch the ball 275 times if he stays healthy. But he's not healthy now, so that takes away a lot of that value. I dropped him down to the round 7, round 8 range until we get more information. The thing that's really difficult with
there's like, not a lot of information.
Well, there's not a lot of information, and it would be hard to get too excited about anyone filling that role because the Bears, we don't think, are going to have a very good offense. They don't have a great offensive line. And anybody that comes into that Montgomery role is going to lose passing downs work to Tariq Cohen. Now, Cohen is someone I also drafted in this draft and someone I think is an exceptional value this season. And he would be helped a little bit. Like he's probably getting 8 to 10 carries as opposed to 6 to 8 carries if Montgomery's not there. But the next highest running back on this team right now is Cordarrelle Patterson. And we've seen
this offense mess.
Yeah, oh, it's a total, especially considering that Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller have been hurt for a large part of training camp as well. And they cannot find like any reason to say good things about Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky.
There was an article out there, and I know it was retweeted by a lot of the fantasy heads, many of whom I follow. I think maybe Evan Silver tweeted or something like that. It was like, and Evan Silver on tomorrow's show, which is kind of cool. It was like Jimmy Graham looks like the best player in Bears camp on the offensive side of the ball. That's a problem. Jimmy Graham is the sharpest looking guy on the offensive side of the ball, this offense is going to be an utter disaster. We're sort of sleeping on, I know Kyle Long, the coaching staff, didn't want him around anymore. I mean, I think we're sleeping on just how bad this offense could be. I don't know that I even, how worried are you about Allen Robinson? Because he's somebody who feels like he's overcome so many bad situations to still be productive, you know, outside the 1 year we had the ACL tear. And yet, I mean, the offensive line stinks. The running game isn't very good. There's not a lot of competition for targets. I mean, that's the only thing you can say about him.
Yeah, I think he's getting 150 targets. And so, right. Like, how do you not like a guy that's going to get 150 targets that's sometimes available in round 4?
Sure.
So I'm still in on Allen Robinson. I'm still in on Tariq Cohen, but I'm pretty like, and I'll be in on David Montgomery if he falls even further on draft boards. But that's like, you're taking David Montgomery, hoping he can be your flex at this point.
That's not what you want.
Right.
I mean, you'd rather, like, if you end up with David Montgomery on your bench, then that's a different story, but that's going to be, I would assume, kind of tough, to pull off. Okay. So is there any other news that I missed from a fantasy perspective to catch up on? I mean, we talked to Pat Mayo about this yesterday. So I'm curious what you think about the Kenyon Drake and the Miles Sanders injuries. I now have a hard time taking Kenyon Drake with a top 10 pick, even really a top 12 pick if he's in a walking boot. Like, I just have Azer poo-pooed me on the Twitch stream on Tuesday night. I was like, he's like, walking boot, whatever. I was like, wait, what do you mean? What, you get yada yada a walking boot? It's a wall. Like, who knows what's wrong with his foot?
I just don't see, and this is where I kind of split from the rest of the podcast, I think. I don't really see a reason to take Miles Sanders or Kenyon Drake in the first round.
I agree.
When we've got, like, we know the top five running backs that are going to be drafted as first round picks. There's absolutely no reason to take one of those guys over Davante Adams or Michael Thomas. And you're not taking him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And no. I don't, like,
how high will you take Clyde?
I'm still a little bit lower on him in the group, but I'll take him around the 12th pick.
Is that I'm not getting him? Oh, you would. Okay. See, I would take him at five because I just have this weird Spidey sense feeling about Dalvin Cook. Now, I mean, if Damian Williams were there, we were on the same page before Damian Williams opted out.
And I've not stuck to that. I've moved him up to a borderline first round pick. Cool. I don't. Like, and this was something we talked about on the podcast, and the discussion around taking Michael Thomas or Davante Adams is framed as if, well, yeah, you're taking the safe points. I don't really agree with the idea that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has more upside than Michael Thomas or Davante Adams.
I mean,
like, Kareem, no,
those guys could be the wide receiver one. Like,
those guys are going to score more.
Very unlikely Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the running back one.
Right. And in PPR, they're almost certainly going to score more points.
Yeah.
Than he does. Okay.
That's fair. So you would still take, see, I think what I really don't want for when these, and I've been being and moaning about the eighth pick to Jamie every time I get it, but I don't want to be the fifth pick. I don't think. I think 5, 6, 7, 8 is where you don't want to be in drafts. Like 1 through 4, I can make through because I'll get one of those stud running backs and then just see how it falls out coming back to me. And then I actually like being 9, 10, 11, 12. Because I think you have options you can sort of work with in how you construct your roster. Like, I love Joe Mixon, and I'm perfectly fine taking Joe Mixon maybe as high as 6. I don't know if I take him over those wide receivers, but you get the point. Like, at 8, at 9 or 10, I don't mind taking, like, a stud wide receiver than hoping I get Mixon or Chubb on the way back. I guess that's – maybe I almost prefer to be in the back end. Is that crazy?
I think it's a little bit crazy, but I'm not as high on Joe Mixon as you are. If I've got 5, 6, 7, or 8, I pretty much start the same way every time. I'm going.
Well, you're going wide receiver there.
I'm going Michael Thomas or Davante Adams, and then I'm taking Travis Kelce or George Kittle coming back, and okay. I have a top two player at two different positions.
Okay, that is not an unreasonable approach, and in fact, I'm probably playing into your hand by drafting myself and the Sanders guys and the Drake guys are playing into your hand. By taking all the running backs because you get a number one wide receiver and a number one tight end or number two.
Right.
Okay. That's fair. Is that where everybody's going? Am I chalking this and I don't realize it? That happens to me a lot.
You are certainly chalking this.
Okay. Like, I think I'm zagging, but I'm actually just zigging, right? Like, I'm like swimming in like a pool of minnows and I don't realize it. Like, I think I'm like swimming upstream and I'm just like, all like floating drunk downstream.
It's really weird to go back and look at like how round one and two running backs performed last year.
Sure.
And then recognize where we are right now with the idea that, man, you're just sunk if you don't get a running back in the first two rounds because you have to have one of those round one or two running backs. And they were like, it was like 50-50 last year.
Right. It's probably 50-50 ever since like 2010, honestly.
Right. So I'm not to say that like, I'm very happy to take a running back, one of those first four. I kind of think I'm in the same place you are as far as Dalvin Cook goes. I think it's strange how much James Conner gets discounted because of his perceived injury issues. And Dalvin Cook's just a consensus top five pick.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Cook misses time and I love Dalvin Cook.
How do you feel?
Okay. All right. But no, I think, look, that's important. I think the contrarian stance, I don't like to be, I think if you're in line with what everybody is doing, in a certain year, then you're probably going to end up getting less value out of it. Now, I, you know, we'll, and we'll talk about this in a minute. I mean, you do agree that the wide receiver depth is crazy this year, right? I mean, it's bananas.
I do. What I think where I disagree is I don't dislike the running backs in like the round 5, 6, okay. 7, 8 range. I'm like, if I can, especially considering that in PPR, you can get Cohen in 7 or 8. So you can take Swift, Akers, Kareem Hunt, those guys in round 5, 6, and then have Cohen who you can start week 1. And if I've got like, I'm not necessarily saying I'm taking Michael Thomas and George Kittle, Michael Thomas and Travis Kelce in round 1 and 2, because I want to load up on running backs in round 3 or round 4. I still want to take DJ Moore in round 3. I still want to take Calvin Ridley in round 4. But if you can start with Michael Thomas, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley as your number 3 and Travis Kelce, you can make the running backs work.
That's fair. That's a good. I guess that was that I'm beating on your team. I'm like, ah, look at this guy. And I'm like, well, you know, he's got Calvin Ridley on here. And that's his number 2. And then or like number 3 and DJ Moore. That's fair. I mean, especially in the PPR. Let's talk about some of your hot offseason takes.
Ooh.
Cause you just mentioned a bunch of rookie running backs like DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers. Do you believe that rookie running backs will be bust this year?
Everybody we've talked to, like we were having this debate back in May when it was 2020 was super weird, but we didn't know how weird the rest of the offseason was going to be. And everybody we've talked to since then that has actually played football or coached football has indicated that, you know, this offseason's going to put the rookie class behind where they normally are. And so, yeah, I expect that. Sure, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is getting a ton of work with the Chiefs and Damian Williams opted out, and so I'm fine with him as a first-round pick. I don't have any problem with it at all. The Indianapolis Colts have 2 running backs that were perfectly fine. They're a playoff team. I don't think they're just handing things over to Jonathan Taylor.
I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be the David Montgomery of last year.
Ooh.
Not because he isn't effective as a rookie running back.
Right.
But because where you draft him, you will need him to be a running back 1 or running back 2, and he will be occasionally a flex guy that you can start. And I think people will be pulling their hair out because in the same way with Montgomery, like you didn't know week to week what he was going to do. And he just needed to find the end zone to do anything. I think that there will be an inconsistent game plan week to week for Jonathan Taylor in that Colts offense.
He might be kind of like a Will Fuller at running back.
That works, sure.
Where he's going to have a couple, he might have a 12 carry, 110 yard game. And I do like these guys more in best ball when I'm not going to have to figure out when to start them.
Correct.
The one rookie running back I've probably drafted more than any other is unsurprisingly cheaper than the rest of them. But J.K. Dobbins, if he's there in round 7 or round 8, I absolutely love getting him.
Yeah.
But I'm probably out on Taylor. If it's round 6 for Swift or Akers, and that's another thing that's happened is I had the hot take when Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift were going in round 4 and Keyshawn Vaughn was going ahead of Ronald Jones and Jonathan Taylor was a 2nd round pick. That was when I was just avoiding all of the rookie running backs. Yes. Well, the math has changed a little bit now because Jonathan Taylor's there in round 4, maybe round 5. Swift and Akers have fallen to round 6. I'm more comfortable with those guys where they are now than where they were back in June.
I would agree that. Yeah. 2nd round is unacceptable for Jonathan Taylor. Like, dude, you can't do that. And you're right. It has changed significantly. Maybe that's because people have started sort of changing their opinions. I'm just looking really quickly. The total carries and this is including Nyheim, 247 carries for Marlon Mack, 52 for Nyheim Hines, 51 for Jordan Wilkins, and 49 for Jonathan Williams. That's 400 carries from the Colts offense last year. I think it's probably safe to project 450 carries, maybe.
See, that's the thing is like they went super run heavy last year because they didn't trust Jacoby Brissett.
Sure.
I would think they'd probably throw it more this year than they did last year.
I was sort of thinking they might have more, they wouldn't be trailing as much, but you're right. I mean, in fact, they even went, that's 25 carries a game. That's a lot. I mean, that's substantial. And they would even be losing and run the ball.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't, you know, when Brissett got hurt, they couldn't trust him. So yeah, let's say 375 carries and Marlon Mack gets 250 again, which I don't think is even conservative. I mean, you know, you could be looking at a situation where Jonathan Taylor gets between 150 and 200 carries his rookie year. And that's not, and he's right. Maybe being outsnapped by Nyheim Hines on 3rd down. I mean, that's a disaster.
I've got him at 190 And I don't think he's going to do much in the passing game as a rookie with Hines on the team.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that makes him a borderline number two, maybe in non-PPR, but it's not worth a third round pick.
Right. Okay. I'm with you. And I agree. I like Dobbins a little bit more, but I think it's the same situation. You have a veteran running back who's been very good for their team. He's on the end of his contract. They're not going to just like sit Mark Ingram on the bench or Marlon Mack on the bench and not use them because you're going to wear them down on the end of their deals. They're veterans who know how to pass protect. These rookie running backs, this is why I think Edwards-Helaire is a bit of an exception because he's newer than Darwin Thompson and those guys, but I think the undervaluing of the veteran guys is surprising to me. Swift might be different though.
Because you believe in his talent more?
I just think that Kerryon Johnson was drafted 2 years ago.
Kerryon Johnson was basically the same draft capital as DeAndre Swift.
Identical. SEC running back in the second round.
I think Swift could be different because Kerryon Johnson could get hurt again.
Yes.
But if Kerryon Johnson stays healthy, and then the other thing is at least with Jonathan Taylor, if something happens and we're wrong or someone gets hurt and we're wrong and he's all of a sudden getting 15 carries a game, he's going to be awesome.
Right.
If something happens to Kerryon Johnson, then DeAndre Swift is the lead running back for the Lions.
Yeah. And then is that good or bad? Is that saying
I don't
bad?
Think that's good.
Okay.
I don't he's good. I think he's talented, but yeah. I just don't think, I don't think he has the same upside if he gets the workload that Taylor does.
I would agree with that. If Marlon Mack and Kerryon Johnson both get hurt, Jonathan Taylor will be more productive than DeAndre Swift.
But Swift is two to three rounds cheaper right now, so he may still be a better choice.
I just think the drafting of Swift was them saying, we don't believe Kerryon Johnson can stay healthy. There's no chance we're going to give this guy a second contract.
Right.
Bo Scarborough, it didn't work out, and J.D. McKissick is a passing downs guy. And I think that they felt, too, when Stafford got hurt, and Kerryon's hurt too, they didn't have anything to lean on. And they're just trotting out. They improved the offensive line. They have to be able to run the ball this year if they want to be good. And I like the Lions this year.
Okay.
And that's why I kind of like DeAndre Swift as well. Okay. Another hot take you had. DJ Moore is elite.
This is not a hot take, Will.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's a hot take at all. He was a 22-year-old last year who put up over 1,100 yards in 14 games, catching passes from Kyle Allen and Will Greer.
Mm.
That is elite. Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not sure if he's going to be good or just okay, but he's going to be a big upgrade over Kyle Allen. All he needs, in my opinion, for a top three season this year is just to have a little bit better touchdown luck.
Wow.
I think he's going to get close to 150 targets. I think he might catch 100 passes. He was on pace to catch 100 passes last year before he got hurt. So, yeah, I am all in on DJ Moore. I've got him ahead of DeAndre Hopkins.
Wow. And you and I have talked about this. When you say I've got him ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, you don't mean, this is not you pumping him up in the ring. If you have an opportunity to take both, you're taking DJ Moore.
100%.
Okay, and not even flinching. So you think Hopkins is... Is Hopkins a good value in drafts, or are you just too worried that
he's polarizing for sure.
Cheapest he's ever been.
What's that?
It's the cheapest he's ever been since he came in the league.
Right. Yeah. I think the difficulty is for me, and I generally come at this from a numbers perspective, and sometimes there's reasons that doesn't work out as well, but that's the way that I go about it. DeAndre Hopkins, 4 of the past 5 seasons, has been below 8 yards per target.
Pete Prisco has pointed that out a bunch. Pete's pointed out that he thinks Hopkins has declined. Pete, I don't know if he's done this publicly, but he does this on our text threads. He tries to get, justifies the move from the Texans part to a degree. He thinks DeAndre Hopkins might be declining. So, maybe you're onto something. I don't know.
If I'm on the side of Pete Prisco, I don't know how I could be wrong. But the reason I bring that up is I have him projected at 8 yards per target this year, which is pretty average for a number one wide receiver.
Sure.
I don't think he's getting 10 targets per game in that Arizona offense. They spread the ball around. That's what Cliff Kingsbury does. And they have several other options to throw the ball to. So I've got him at 140 targets, which is still quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
But you do the math, 140 times 8 is like 1,100 yards.
Yeah, it's not a huge season. Now,
no.
He could still return value if he catches, you know, 8 to 10 touchdowns. You just get touchdown luck and all that.
Well, right. And that's the other place that I come from with this. It's like I'm giving him what I think is more than fair in terms of efficiency, but he's going from Deshaun Watson to Kyler Murray, and everyone's super excited about Kyler Murray, and I think rightfully so. Kyler Murray is currently a worse passer than Deshaun Watson, sure. In my opinion.
Yeah, he's a second-year quarterback.
Right. So I don't have any DeAndre Hopkins this year. I don't imagine that's going to change.
I think one of the interesting things that people don't realize about the Cardinals too is like you think air raid and it's like pass. They're going to run the ball a ton. They're going to run the ball from passing sets, and then Kyler's going to also dink and dunk around. And it is very possible that Christian Kirk, I mean, you look at Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, 109, 108 in terms of targets. Like that may not be and Kirk played three less games. But it's a possibility that, you know, there's some even spread, like it's distributed evenly, as you point out. And that would make Hopkins substantially less valuable. By the way, Debo points out these are not actually hot takes, just Heath off-season takes, which
hot
acronym. So that may be my acronym riddled brain might have done that. Like Preston Williams, a sleeper.
I've almost got to the point where I want to just rank Preston Williams ahead of Devontae Parker to make a point.
No, that would be hot.
Last year, before Preston Williams got hurt, he had more targets, receptions, and yards than Devontae Parker. And people say, well, yeah, but some of that was Josh Rosen. On throws from Ryan Fitzpatrick, he was better than Devontae Parker last year until he got hurt. And then he got hurt, and all the targets went Parker's way because they didn't really have any other wide receivers. The thing that makes that so special, in my opinion, is like, yeah, the Parker breakout was great. These were the first 8 or 9 games of Preston Williams' NFL career. And he's outproducing and out-targeting Devontae Parker. Now he's going into year 2. Everything we've heard from training camp is that the ACL is okay. He's making highlight reel plays on the regular, which is just fun. Like, it probably doesn't matter anything, but it's fun. And so I think these two, which Parker right now has an ADP right around the end of the 5th round, and Preston Williams is in round 12.
Round 12 for anybody. I mean, if you're getting like a flex caliber production half of the season out of round 12, you're probably doing pretty well in your league.
And I think it's like also Preston Williams didn't fall in the draft last year because nobody thought he was any good. He was coming off a year at Colorado State where he caught 96 passes in a college season for 1,300 yards and 14 touchdowns. He fell because there were some other off the field concerns.
Right.
But he may just be better than Devontae Parker.
I mean, Devontae Parker holds a special place in my heart because I got to dunk on Ryan and Sean because he outperformed Sammy Watkins last year. But I mean, I get it. I mean, there's no reason why he took 17 years to break out. He was drafted with Adrian Peterson and finally had a first big season. I think Preston Williams is a nice buy low. Does Tua possibly playing impact your assessment of those guys at all? Or do you think Tua won't play?
Comfortable with saying I don't like that. I've heard that a lot, that man, it'd be great if Fitzpatrick could just play 16 games. I don't know if that's true or not. Tua is not going to run as much as Ryan Fitzpatrick runs.
He led the Dolphins in rushing last year.
Yeah. So I don't think it'll be fewer pass attempts. And I don't know, like, everyone is 100% certain that Joe Burrow is an immediate big upgrade over Andy Dalton, but we think that Tua might be a downgrade from Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. So I'm not confident one way or the other, but I'm not factoring it in. I don't know if Tua will be slightly better or slightly worse than Fitzpatrick, but I don't think it'd be a big difference.
Kalen Ballage, 74 carries. Patrick Laird, 62 carries. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 54 carries. Mark Walton, 53 carries. Kenyon Drake, 47 carries. Miles Gaskin, 36 carries. I mean, that's just the absolute worst rushing attack you could ever toss out. And then naturally, like, Kenyon Drake had 1,000 yards with like 800. What do you have with Arizona? He had 643 rushing yards with Arizona after he left Miami as Adam Gase. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll answer some questions from the listeners and look at Heath's outliers for 2020.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul. The designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Okay, so you tweeted out conveniently on Wednesday, right before, like shortly before we did this podcast, that you had a list of guys who you consider outliers. And this is people you are higher on than the industry average. And I talked about this with Jamie earlier in the week and Pat Mayo yesterday, I think, and maybe we talked about it on the Twitch. At this point, I'm fantasy, my brain is riddled with fantasy stuff. But fantasy football is a group think exercise to a large degree. Like there are opportunities to exploit value based on how industry trends perceive certain players. We talk about Miles Sanders and Kenyon Drake. I mean, those guys are going to go in the top 12 unless, you know, Miles Sanders is missing like a leg or, you know, Kenyon Drake breaks his foot. Like if they're looking healthy before the start of the season when people are drafting, they're going to go in the first 15 picks. And that gives you some arbitrage in terms of guys being able to drop and being able to scoop up some value. So one guy that people might be able to scoop up, particularly in PPR, Austin Eckler.
Yeah, he is one of the guys that I have ranked ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire PPR. So that's certainly an outlier. And I just think, first off, Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson are not Melvin Gordon. No. The four games that Melvin Gordon didn't play last year when Justin Jackson was there, Eckler averaged 20 touches per game. Mm. I've often compared Eckler to Alvin Kamara because their career efficiency is very, very similar. In fact, Eckler's been better as a pass catcher so far in their careers. And I think he might just be Kamara on a worse offense this year. I expect the Chargers to run the ball more. That offensive line looks good. I think Eckler's more likely to be the short yardage guy than a rookie is. So I think the touchdowns come up, and a lot of people are concerned about how much his targets are going to fall with Tyrod Taylor there. I do project he's going to lose targets, but they're probably going to be without Mike Williams at the start of the year. And this is not a situation with Eckler where he got targets because Phillip Rivers dropped back, couldn't find anybody and dumped it off to him every time. They line him up as a slot wide receiver. Sure. They send him down the field. They use Austin Eckler as both a running back and a wide receiver. I still expect him to be the second or third most targeted player. And the last year that Taylor was a starting quarterback, LeSean McCoy was his best pass catcher.
I was about to point that out, but you beat me to it. LeSean McCoy, this is 2015. So I guess you're looking at 2016, maybe? I always get confused with Tyrod Taylor. Let's see. Oh, yeah, he was there in 2016, too. Yeah, you're right. LeSean McCoy. Well, and the other thing I would point out, too, Charles Clay. Had a ton of, like, I don't consider Charles Clay a tight end like Hunter Henry. Like, he's closer to like Austin. You know what I mean? Like, he's more of an H-back. And like, he constantly had tons of targets, and so did LeSean McCoy. Like, they fed these guys. Even freaking Carlos Dansby, who was it who had he had like 15 targets for the 2015
Carlos
Williams. Yes. Yeah. Not Dansby. Yes. I mean, like, Percy Harvin, 30 targets. He's closer to Austin Eckler than he is Mike Williams or Keenan Allen.
For sure. You know? Yeah.
And so I think you see these little chess pieces used by Anthony Lynn offenses in and around the line of scrimmage or lined up in weird spots in this run first offense because he knows they can get open. So yeah, I would agree with you. I don't know that the one thing I guess that people would be concerned with is can he hold up to a full workload? Well, What if he does? What if they give him 200 carries and he catches 100 balls?
But again, this is like the same type of thing we said with Dalvin Cook and James Conner. We ask if Austin Eckler can hold up to a full workload. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the same size as Austin Eckler, if not a little bit smaller.
All right, let me ask you this: what is the upside for Austin Eckler? Like, does he have RB1 in him?
I don't know that. Like, I for anybody that I'm assigning upside to, I generally just like the highest I will go is RB2, because I don't think anybody can be better than Christian McCaffrey has been the past two seasons reasonably. I think the upside's Alvin Kamara.
I would be fine.
It's what he does. And it's what Eckler's been when he's got the football. So, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Eckler has more rush attempts than Kamara this year.
So the upside is maybe, is it 2017 Kamara? Because I don't know. He's not going to score 14 rushing touchdowns. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. I think it's probably 2017 Kamara with more rush attempts.
And a lower yard per attempt.
Right. Yeah. He's not going to average 6 yards per carry, but
if you get that in the second round of a PPR draft and you, and God forbid you hit, like you grab Michael Thomas or Davante Adams or, you know, whoever it is in the first round, like you're cooking with gas out of the gate. Okay.
For sure.
All right. You're talking me into it. A couple of wide receivers. We mentioned Calvin Ridley, Cooper Kupp and Tyler Lockett. I don't know how these guys fit. I guess Calvin Ridley is the guy that everyone's expecting to take a leap.
Yeah, well, I was surprised that I was, because I think he's like everyone that has done a breakouts article this year has put Calvin Ridley in the breakouts article.
It's because you have to find a wide receiver who doesn't have a 1,000-yard season, but is like likely to do it. And Ridley just, he's third-year wide receiver.
Oh, well.
In offense, fits the bill.
It's cheating too, because Calvin Ridley broke out last year. He just only played 13 games.
Right, exactly.
He was a number one fantasy wide receiver from the time they traded Mohamed Sanu. And this is a dirt cutter offense. They're going to throw the ball 600 times.
Their defense probably stinks.
And even if it doesn't, they're playing Drew Brees and Tom Brady 4 times, and they're playing indoors. And I just think they're going to score a ton of points. Adam Azer always likes to talk about how Atlanta's defense was actually a lot better in the second half. And he's right. The funny thing is their defense got a lot better and they won a lot more games and they still threw the ball 40 times a game.
Dirk Cutter is, I believe, has never been outside the top 5 as an offensive coordinator or head coach, or just when he's the play caller, outside the top 5 in passing attempts. Like, he just throws the ball. It doesn't matter whose quarterback is, Jameis, Matt Ryan, whatever.
Like, I don't think this will happen, but I think there's Chris Godwin upside for Ridley this year.
Okay. That's
and my expectation is that Julio's a top 5 wide receiver and Ridley's a top 10 wide receiver.
So you have no problem with the Julio Ridley stack?
I have no problem just stacking the entire Falcons pass offense, really.
I have a theory that if you draft only Falcons and Cowboys, you might win your fantasy league.
Yeah. I would like to have a different second running back, but besides that, I think I'm good with it.
Oh, yeah. I don't want Gurley. I don't know if you know this. He was a first-round pick. The Falcons have 11 first-round picks on offense. I don't know if you heard this.
Well, but not 11 first-round picks starting on offense, right? Because Justin Gage is going to start.
Be wide receiver set, so you have Laquon Treadwell out there. So it's 11.
He's not starting over Russell Gage.
No, that's my whole. I hate the fact that they do this. You're like, we have 11 first-round picks. It's like, okay, look. I don't need to go on this rant again, but it's like Gurley was dumped by the Rams. You traded a second round pick for Hayden Hurst, who was, by the way, was drafted before Lamar Jackson. Don't get me started on that. Matt Ryan was taken 25 years ago. Laquon Treadwell, grow up, Falcons social media. What are you doing?
They're pretty good at their job though.
They're good at the job. Okay. So Lockett, Lockett to me is a no brainer fourth round pick investment. I don't think I've seen him going earlier than that. It feels like you get him for the fourth or fifth round almost every time. He's crazy efficient. His numbers dipped late in the latter part of last year. I think he was kind of banged up. I don't know about Cooper Kupp. He worries me a little bit, and they need to get back to doing what they were doing on offense, because we saw him come off the field some last year.
Yeah, that was like, he's the one of that group that I'm probably most concerned. Like, I continually move he and Robert Woods closer to each other.
Who's higher?
I have Kupp higher.
Oh, I would have Woods.
And I am generally the touchdown regression is going to happen guy, but it's been pretty clear throughout Robert. Like at some point you get to a point where it's like, well, that guy's just not going to have an 8 or 9.
Robert Woods just doesn't catch touchdowns.
And Cooper Kupp certainly does. Like they get into the red zone and that is where Jared Goff goes with the football. It's him or Tyler Higbee. So yeah, Kupp's the one I'm probably most uncomfortable with amongst those wide receivers. And something did happen to Lockett. I mean, when he was hospitalized after that San Francisco game before that game, he was a top 5 wide receiver in fantasy. He had been hyper efficient his entire career. And everyone said when Baldwin left, well, he's going to get more volume and he has to lose that efficiency. He really didn't. In NFL history, there are 2 players that have averaged at least 9.9 yards per target, Tyreek Hill and Tyler Lockett.
That's insane. And he's available in the 4th round.
Right.
Would you take him in the 3rd or would you, I mean, I think you wait, right?
I don't think you have to take him in the 3rd. There have been some times where I did because there was somebody behind me like Ben Gretsch or somebody that might take him. But yeah, you can let him go to the 4th.
And you can pick up like a Ridley or a Kenny Galladay, mm-hmm. one of these guys who could has a monster season in them. And then you add that's the other reason why you go to your build. Now I've been talking for 35 minutes. I've talked myself into your team being better than mine. but you go Michael Thomas or Davante Adams and then Kelsey or Kittle. And then and this is sort of my point too, is like, I almost think with the team that you had, I would have quadrupled down on wide receiver and you go with like Galladay in the 3rd and then Lockett in the 4th or, and you come away with it. It's like just find 2 slappies that you can throw in there. Now it's different if it's non PPR because you do have to worry, you have to.
Right. For sure. Totally. Well, it's totally different non PPR. And we did a salary cap draft yesterday.
Nice work.
That was 2 wide receivers. Hey, what's
the team? What's the team in Washington? What football team is it?
The football team.
Okay, good. You're ready. You're ready for the season. You passed the
test. Thank you. And it was, you only had to start 2 wide receivers. That's totally different math there as well.
Right.
But if you're starting 3 wide receivers and probably 4 with a flex and it's full PPR, then I really like that strategy.
That build. And again, with these running backs going early, and what's going to happen is when all those running backs go early, anybody who took like a wide receiver or the other tight end is going to probably panic and take Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon. You're going to see those guys go. And if you want to go no running back, you have a chance to get a loaded squad. Just have to figure out the running back position.
You've got to hit on one of like Chase Edmonds, Alexander Mattison, Tony Pollard, Darrington Evans, and a name that should be in that group that doesn't usually get mentioned is Latavius Murray, because I don't know if you remember what he did last year when Alvin Kamara missed 2 games, but he was incredible.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you actually have Chase Edmonds and Antonio Gibson on this list. Would you throw Lat Murray on there as well?
Well, I like my ranking is pretty close to what the consensus is. Okay. But yeah, I am definitely looking towards him when I'm looking for lottery ticket running backs, and he's available usually in round 10.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think and even if you don't do that build, even if you go with straight running backs early, you still need to take flyers at the position. Like, don't assume that as you point out, Heath, don't assume your 1st and 2nd round picks are going to pay off.
Right. The only time I don't do that is, and it was several, I've only done this once this year in our mocks, but we had to talk about it a lot because it's so weird for me. I took 3 running backs in my 1st 3 picks. Mm. And I only took 1 more running back in the next 12 rounds, because if those guys get hurt, my season's over anyway. Like, you're just, it's a big swing, but I think you only do that from the front of the draft, and only if like Nick Chubb, James Conner, those guys, Aaron Jones, fall to you in round 2 and 3.
And I think if if you go McCaffrey at 1 and then it comes back and the wide receiver has just been, wide receiver position has just been drained.
Right.
The 2 tight ends are gone and you don't want to go Zach Ertz and I don't know if you want to go Zach Ertz and Calvin Ridley at the top of 2 and 3.
I'd much rather go Aaron Jones and James Conner.
Right. And just load up on running backs and then circle back through with the wide receiver depth. Right. I think you'll feel good about your roster there. And that goes back to the point we talked about Pat Mayo yesterday. Don't go into the draft knowing how you're going to draft. You have to be willing to adjust based on what is presented to you live in the draft room.
We call that snips.
Yeah, that's right.
What is snips? Seriously, no intentional positional strategy.
There you go, snips. You get a vasectomy sponsor for
Dr. Snippet sponsors Snips. Jonnu Smith, you have on here, and Gardner Minshew. Our love affair with Gardner Minshew is long chronicled. I mean, he's going to play for a crappy football team that's going to be behind, and he runs the ball well, and you have to throw the ball a ton.
And they can't stop raving about Laviska Shenault. Like, they love that guy. They've got, like, they added Chris Thompson and Tyler Eifert, which is kind of like LOL, they're going to combine for six games. Yeah. But they're also massive upgrades over the pass catchers he had at those positions last year on an efficiency basis. DJ Chark is a very good number one. He's going to throw the ball 600 times. And his offensive coordinator, Jay Gruden, got three straight top five fantasy seasons out of Andy Dalton and Kirk Cousins.
That's not impressive. I like Jay Gruden is underrated, in my opinion. Jonnu Smith, I think I've been on Jonnu for a while now. They give him carries as a tight end. He's crazy athletic. There's a group of tight ends, Ian Thomas, Jonnu Smith. Who else is on the back end there that you can sort of like, I think that Dallas Goedert, maybe
Chris Herndon.
Yeah. Chris Herndon for sure. He's popular now too. One of the, like, if you don't get Kelsey or Kittle, if you don't get one of those two guys or even Mark, like if I don't get Kittle or Kelsey, why am I struggling with that? I'm probably going to go with a Tyler Higbee or somebody else and then grab a Jonnu or a Ian Thomas and hope I get a breakout from that rather than pay for Ertz or pay for Andrews personally.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance that Jonnu is second on that team in targets. And as much as the Titans want to run the ball, I do think they're going to be forced to throw it a little bit more this year. He really kind of took off last year once Ryan Tannehill took over. And basically any time Tannehill threw the ball more than 25 times, Jonnu Smith was good in fantasy. I think he'll have to do that more this year than he did last year.
Okay, love it. All right, let's get to some listener questions. Reminder, Heath will be joining us all season long, once a week, you poor bastard. If you want to ask questions for fantasy, you can do so on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com, search for Pick Six. We can leave a 5-star review. So if you have a draft coming up and you want to ask us questions that we will get answered for you, or you have questions in season that you want answered, you can use those two vehicles to do so. And we'll ask them each week on this show. This is from TJ Robinson. Hey all, I'm in a 2-quarterback league, 1 point for 50 passing yards, 1 point for 20 rushing yards, 5 points for passing touchdowns, 8 points for rushing. This is bizarre. 8 points for rushing touchdowns, all touchdowns over 50 yards or double the TD points. No negative points for turnovers. What is this madness? Mahomes or Lamar with the first pick? I'm torn because Jackson will have better rushing numbers, but Mahomes had way more TD passes that were close to 50 yards. Those 50 yard TDs are a game changer in my league.
Phew. I really love hate this question and league. I love it because like we're going to play in 450 fantasy leagues this year, Will. And it's nice to have one that's different.
I know, right? Like I'm in every type of league and I'm flummoxed by this draft setup.
I hate it because all of the stuff I said about numbers earlier, you can just throw out the window. A lot of those things, you're just not that predictable. So I do think the difference between rushing and passing touchdowns and rushing and passing yards is big enough that I would prefer Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, I agree with you there. And I think that when you assume 50-yard passing touchdowns, like that's tough to predict in a game script.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes is going – I would expect Mahomes is going to have more of those than Lamar Jackson, but it
Lamar could have like a few.
Two more. So right. I don't really care.
Yeah, exactly. And it could be even a thing where Lamar has more 50-yard passing touchdowns, but Mahomes has like five more 40 to 49,
right?
You know, yard passing touchdowns. So I think the variance there, you take the rushing yards, you go Lamar Jackson. Chase Savage asks, which players entering their second or third year are you expecting to have the biggest increase over previous fantasy production? I will say that Calvin Ridley qualifies for sure.
Yeah, I would say also DJ Moore would qualify. DJ Chark is one who would qualify. Do we have any?
Preston Williams.
Preston Williams. Yeah, I'm trying to think if we had somebody that was not a wide receiver.
I'll throw out Courtland Sutton too.
I don't know if he'll be that much better than he was last year.
Gallup? No? Yes?
I think Gallup's probably about the same.
Gallup and Sutton are similar because I think they'll be very productive, but I do worry about their situations for various reasons. The other target hogs in Dallas and in Denver, and then the quarterback in Denver as well.
Back, for sure, Miles Sanders.
Okay.
I would have said David Montgomery before today, but no. A lot of people would say Ronald Jones.
Yep.
Quarterback, Kyler, for sure.
Yep.
And I would say Minshew.
Not Lamar.
Not Lamar. I don't think he's going to be any better than he was.
I'll say Damian Harris.
Yeah, I've got mixed emotions on that one, but especially with Sony Michel coming off the pup today.
Yeah, that wasn't helpful to my hype train. all right. Next question from Michael Gray. Have Adam Sizer on and make him, it's Adam Major, make him explain to you his quote, quarterbacks lose value in superflex / two QB leagues theory. I haven't heard that.
It's not that quarterbacks lose value. It's that Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson specifically lose value because you start more players, so their impact isn't as big.
That's the stupidest thing. It's not the stupidest thing I've ever heard because
No, he's got a long list of them, and you can find those on my Twitter account.
You know, yeah, we read. No, you don't know this probably, but we read the entire list of those things on this podcast at some point this off season.
Because
I was talking about it, and Wilson and Breach and Sean were like, "What is this stuff with Azure? Like, I've never really heard of that bad of a take." I was like, "Hold on," and I went to your Twitter account and started reading. They're like, "Oh my god, what's the matter with this guy?" I actually heard a good Azure take on the Twitch stream on Tuesday night. I said, Dave got up and was walking around. I said, Dave, I started singing Dave on the Run, and Azure was like, "I love that song." Talking about Band on the Run by Wings, and I love the song as well. I'm just surprised with anything I like if Adam also likes it because the things he likes are terrible.
Yeah, and he hates the Beastie Boys. So,
who could hate the Beastie Boys? Imagine.
Yeah.
But that point doesn't hold water because in fact, it may hold less water because now the difference between so you have to start 24 quarterbacks in a two quarterback league.
Right. They are immensely more valuable.
Right.
No question about it. They should be probably taken second and within the top six, depending on scoring format.
Sure. This is from Brandon De Puma Silva. What are Will and Company's or Will and Heath's thoughts on stacking in season long fantasy drafts?
It's a near must in best ball leagues. And I like it, but don't love it in just regular playing your own opponent week to week redraft leagues.
I think it's fine depending on what you do.
If you're like one thing I want to do before this draft season's over, and I don't think it's going to happen, but I really wanted to get a Tyreek Hill in the first, Travis Kelce in the second, Patrick Mahomes in the third stack.
Right.
Because that might just make your team unbeatable from weeks 14 through 16.
Right. If you stack the Falcons and when I say stack, I don't mean like five Falcons as we discussed earlier.
Right.
If you have Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley, you might think, oh no, every time Calvin Ridley catches a ball, Julio won't get any points and that hurts me. But in reality, every single point in the Falcons passing game is yours basically. And that's going to be. Yeah. Like that's just you're going to have a lot of volume. And now I don't know that you want, would you want Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones without Matt Ryan?
I don't really know.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
I would prefer to have Ryan if I had those two. My favorite one to do it with, and you said it earlier, is the Cowboys because they're a little bit cheaper. Cooper, you can get in round four a lot of times. Gallup's not going to round six or seven. CeeDee Lamb's there in round nine.
And sneak back in there and go Zeke in the first. I have no problem with it. You're going to get 30, as I pointed out yesterday, you're going to get 30 real points per game.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great, all right. Let's see. And finally, Craig Gwynn asks, good punishments for fantasy losers. Also still waiting on my Brinson sucks hat. As far as the Brinson sucks hat goes, it's somewhere in my house. It's not up here in my office right now, but, I am told that we can produce more. If people think those will sell, I guess I could line CBS pockets with Brinson sucks hat money. That seems like an HR violation, but whatever. If you want a Brinson sucks hat, let us know on Twitter, on the Facebook group or something. We'll see what we can do. We don't really punish fantasy losers in my leagues.
I mean, it's enough of a punishment to be terrible at fantasy football.
Yeah.
But I know I've heard some, like, I think the one where you have to go to a restaurant and have an entire meal with a blow up doll is a pretty good one.
You know, I will say I spotted this at my son's preschool a few years ago, and I was driving through the parking lot picking Robbie up, and I saw this gigantic unicorn, like rainbow flowing clouds bumper sticker said, "I lost my fantasy league." And I put it on Instagram. I started getting blown up. They're like, "Yo, I'm in that dude's league. Like, he is humiliated. You're crushing him." So the guy used to drive around for a year with I suck at fantasy bumper sticker, like big. It's a bit like, I mean, like talking like the size of somebody's head sticker on the back of his car. Like, you notice it. And so that's pretty solid. I like that.
Yeah. Those are both good.
Yeah. All right. Any beers that you've had that you would, care to talk about?
I haven't, like, it's been tough because a lot of the breweries down here, like, had to close down completely. Weren't even able to do anything for a while. But I did. What, talk about yours and I will, I'll give mine.
Well, so my friends at, out in San Diego, Darren Smith and Marty Caswell do, the radio show, the iHeartRadio in San Diego, Extra 1360 maybe. They send me a bunch of beer. They send me beer for doing radio hits, which I guess is legal. And, I got a bunch of Belching Beaver IPAs, it's a play on Haters Gonna Hate. Hopper's Gonna Hop. That sound right? Hazer's Gonna Haze. Hazer's Gonna Haze IPA from Belching Beaver that was really good. I've been drinking a lot of Coors Light lately because I've been playing tennis and at the pool. So I tend to gravitate towards Coors Light when I'm doing that. So if Coors Light wants to sponsor this podcast, by all means, well, you know what? I haven't had any stouts lately, although I will say, Heath, that at Total Wine last week, there were crates of CBS sitting out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I went back to Kansas City in June. So we haven't talked to you since last year, so this will work. Fringe Beer Works in Kansas City was really, at least Summit area. Doc Meyer's Snake Oil was a black IPA, and you know that I will promote anybody that makes a black IPA. I wish everybody would, like, if one person would just mass produce one, that'd be fantastic. I would buy all your beers. And T.D. Tawson, Patrick Mahazy.
I like Patrick Mahazy.
From Diametric Brewing. Those were both fantastic.
All right. If you have good beers that you want us to check out, maybe test, try, you can send them to us. Of course, we'll go out and purchase our own, or whatever. We'll drink beer for you during the season. Heath, always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks for doing it. Excited for the year. And, we'll talk to you soon, man.
We'll see you next week.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount+ with Showtime plan.